You are going to love the next guest that stopped by the show. Adam Kanakin is on the CJ Evolution podcast. He's a speaker, educator, and host of one of the fastest growing podcasts out there called the Tactical Breakdown Podcast. It's the number one show for instructors and trainers in law enforcement, military, and emergency response. The podcast provides actionable, relevant information and tactics from the best subject matter experts in the world. You are going to love this show. So many great takeaways with Adam Kanakin next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in. We continue to grow and expand because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for sharing it with your family and friends. We appreciate it here at the show. Again, thank you. Big shout out to the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing. Maybe you're a first responder, maybe you're fire, maybe you're EMS. Thank you all for what you do. Very few people can heed the call and do what you do every day. Remember, all of you, you are cherished, honored, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work. Oh man, you know I love coffee. My good friends at Four Sigmatic have some amazing products, from coffees, elixirs. Cocoa is my favorite, is the Lion's Mane mushroom coffee. Yes, I said mushrooms, and mushrooms are good for you, the good mushrooms. You're going to love Lion's Mane coffee. It's my personal favorite. It doesn't taste like mushrooms. It tastes like regular coffee, but it's better for you. Head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Use the promo code CJEVO and get 15% off of all your purchases. Such an honor to be partnered with Detectachem. This amazing and innovative company is keeping our brave men and women who keep us safe every day safer by offering mobile threat detection available for the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives. U.S. military uses this technology, and so should your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Detectachem, and see how they can help keep your troops safer. Are you in charge of your extra duty program for your agency and department, and you're trying to juggle that with all the other projects and assignments you got going on? Let me tell you about my friends at Extra Duty Solutions. Extra Duty Solutions helps law enforcement agencies add efficiency and effectiveness to their extra duty programs while allowing them to focus on what really matter, and that's the safety of their citizens. The company works with law enforcement agencies to administer their extra duty programs. They assist with your extra duty programs in areas such as client interaction, scheduling, invoicing, collections, officer payments, feedback, problem resolution, cash flow management, and so much more. Their services are provided at no cost to the department, that's my favorite, and a minimal cost to the clients, and their programs can be customized to meet the goals and unique needs of the agency. Again, if you're struggling to keep up with your agency's extra duty programs, check out my good friends at Extra Duty Solutions. They can help you. If you head over to extradutysolutions.com, that's extradutysolutions.com, see how they can help your organization and tell them Patrick from the CJ Evolution podcast sent you. On to the show with Adam Kanakin. Adam Kanakin is on the show. Welcome, brother.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited that you're here because you're the host of one of the biggest podcasts out there. I mean, a very fast-growing show that you all have to listen to, by the way, if you haven't, the host of the Tactical Breakdown podcast. And I talked about you a little bit at the beginning of the show, Adam, but for people who don't know who Adam is, tell us who you are. I mean, your background and stuff like that.
Sure, brother. Thanks. Yeah, like you said, I'm the host of the Tactical Breakdown. It's a podcast we specifically designed and intended for law enforcement, military, first responders, and more so on the instructor and trainer side of things. So a lot of our guests are instructors, trainers, subject matter experts, and we talk about everything involved with training and a lot of tactical stuff, a lot of stuff about mental health, and kind of everything in between. So it's been a blast. Like you said, we're growing extremely quickly, and that's just all due to the love and support of the people that listen and our guests, and I couldn't thank them enough, yourself included. And yeah, man, my background, real simply, the majority of where I draw my inspiration from is I was an infantry officer with the Canadian Forces for 6 years. Part of that time was a reserve officer, where I was a training officer for our unit. I got to do things like CBRN defense. I got to do things like SEER. And throughout all those experiences, it really kind of drove home that I love being involved in the training cycle. On the civilian side of things, I'd always done martial arts. I've been a martial artist now for 20 years on and off, depending on what type of art I'm studying at the time. Right now, I'm really into BJJ, as is the most of the world right now. That's kind of the hot button thing. But I have a massive hole in my ground game, so that's why I'm there. And I love training. I love teaching. And when I left the military, I got into doing consulting for private security firms. Got on with some of our justice departments in Canada, affiliated with them as an accredited instructor, and then became part of ILETA, which is the International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association. And yeah, man, that was just kind of the journey. I stepped into the podcast space because I was home by myself when my second child was born. Fun fact for those that don't know, I have three children under three.
Not
recommended if you
so you get no sleep, brother.
If you get stressed easily. Yeah, that's the best part. The military spent a lot of money making sure that I could function with very little or no sleep. So when I was home helping my wife out, we were both at home taking care of the kids. And I wanted to do something that kind of gave me my out, gave me a few hours away to kind of refresh. And this is kind of what came about from it. I've always talked and I've created an amazing network of instructors and trainers and law enforcement throughout Canada, the US and around the world. And I just wanted to share the information with people, man. There's so much information out there that officers need and can use, but there's so much red tape, whether it's between agencies or between instructors or organizations or styles or systems. And I just wanted to break all that away and give people open access to it. So yeah. Now we're here. Now we're doing the podcast. It's like you said, it's growing like crazy. And we're going to keep going, man. It's awesome.
That's amazing. And you're doing such a great job with it, Adam. And you talk about so many different topics, you know, tactical tips, you know, talk about operations, leadership. What are some of the most popular topics that your viewership kind of come back to you and say, man, that was badass. You need to talk more about this. I mean, you talk about so many different things like I do. Mm-hmm. But what are a couple of the top topics that people kind of, you know, resonate to and keep saying, hey man, we need to talk more about that.
Sure. Yeah. There's a couple that are usually always at the top of people's minds. A lot of people like to talk use of force and defensive tactics. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to be like, what should I be training now? How do I do this? How do I do that? Mm-hmm. Obviously, as you know, it's almost impossible to relay information like a specific technique or training methodology or something like that on an audio platform. What we actually did was we started rolling out something called the Instructors Roundtable, which is something that we're putting together the last Thursday of every single month at 1800 Central is what we're going to standardize it to. And it's essentially a live panel video interview with four or five of the top instructors in the world on any given topic. And just a few weeks ago, we ran our first one on use of force and defensive tactics and went for 3 hours, had some amazing feedback. I know guys are saying like, hey man, I took 3 or 4 pages of notes and that's really cool. So, I mean, use of force, defensive tactics is always up there. People always want to learn about mm-hmm. that stuff. And the other thing that I would say is mental health. Dealing with stress incidents, PTSD, and how to cope and you know, how to help people through those processes. So in a lot of the conversations that I've had, we, in some way, shape, or form, it doesn't matter if we were talking about critical incident response, if we were talking about hostage negotiation, if we were talking, you know, about fitness or training, in some way, shape, or form, we always roll back around to that mental health aspect. And that's something I'm really passionate about myself. Mm-hmm. I studied psychology in university and it's one of those things that I love to speak about. So anytime I get a chance to spread that message, I'm all for it. So those are the top two things that I think everybody gives us feedback on.
Yeah. Now, what about, circle back to mental health for a minute, buddy.
Sure.
Now, I think here in the United States, it's gotten better. A lot better than when I got into the job, you know, over two decades ago. I think at least we're having those discussions, and we're doing a little, well, I should say a lot more than what we did when I was in. But how is it like in your backyard in Canada? I mean, are they doing enough for the first responders, or is there always room for more improvement? I guess there's probably always room for more, right?
Yeah, man, there's always room for improvement. I mean, like you said, the message is getting out there. It's starting to get out there. It has the last couple of years. And I mean, you know, it seems to be more prevalent. It just, from everybody sees the information that most people get is in the news. It's online. It's what pops up in your news feed. It's what pops up on your social media, on LinkedIn. In 2019 alone in the United States, there was 228 officers that took their own lives. And that's just the U.S. Now, we had multiple officer suicides in Canada, and there have been a lot around the world as well. And, you know, when you think of those numbers, you know, line of duty deaths weren't even 60% of that. Mm-hmm. And there's the issue. It's why are we, you know, I mean, there's a reason we focus on training, and there's a reason why we try to get people up to speed and ready to perform their duties to the best of their abilities and remain safe while they're on the job. We do that for a reason, obviously. But what about after? You know, like, why aren't we putting just as much time into that? What happens after the incident? What happens after the officer involved shooting? What happens after you get injured or your partner gets hurt or killed? What happens after? And that's where we want to start leading those discussions, is what do we need to start recognizing in people? What can we do prior to these incidents occurring, during, and immediately after? And then the long tail, what happens, you know, weeks, months, years afterwards? How can we provide support to these men and women who, you know, who run towards danger rather than the 99% that run away?
Yeah. And well said. And I think too, it's sometimes, or a lot of times, it's the culture within an organization. You know, I know in the organizations that I have worked in, great organizations, but I remember, and it changed to some degree as I was leaving and transitioning, but I remember for many years, it was a sign of weakness. You know, when an officer said, "Hey, look, you know, I need help," or something like that. I mean, we would provide help, but I know, you know, among officers, you know, that officer would get a hard time a lot of times. I know, because it would reach me. And it was, you know, getting hazed to a degree, you know, when, I mean, come on, just suck it up kind of thing, you know? So I hope that changes. Again, I think it's a culture thing in a lot of agencies, where I think people, even the upper echelon, look at that as a sign of weakness. You got to suck it up, because that's what they did when they were coming up. And that's really, I don't think that's the right attitude to take, right? Especially with the newer generation of officers that are coming in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It comes down to kind of that old guard, new guard mentality. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we see that. I mean, I don't have personal experience on the law enforcement side within an agency or as an officer, but it's the same thing in the military, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about, like, well, this is how we used to do it, so suck it up and just move on kind of thing. And it's interesting. I mean, I have the opportunity this month, we're going to be doing one of these instructors roundtables, and it's going to be on officer involved shootings. Mm-hmm. And a good chunk of that is going to be, you know, how do we respond and support the officer after one of these incidents, right? It's because it's changed a hell of a lot from the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking their firearm away and putting them in a room to sit there and wait for the investigator to come in and ask them questions for 5 hours, now they're changing it up, right? It's, let's get you back out there. Let's get you, you know, we're going to pull this stuff away for evidence, but we're going to reissue you equipment. We're going to reissue a firearm. Yeah. And if you're comfortable and you're, you know, mentally capable of performing your duties, we're going to get you back out on the street as soon as possible, because, you know, studies have shown that it greatly increases the chance that there won't be negative long-term effects from those incidents. So, I mean, I think the science and the research that's coming out now, I think the fact that people are more open to speaking about it. I think the fact that there's amazing platforms like your podcast, our podcast, the internet, social media, and there's people that are willing to speak out and help and utilize these, you know, these methods that we have to reach multiple people around the world. I mean, you and I, you know, we can go and we jump on a phone call and we interview somebody from around the world. And 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. That would never happen, right? Unless it was like a, you know, a syndicated news show or radio show, there was no way they were getting that kind of reach with those people from around the world. And now it can happen every day. So I think technology's helped a lot, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. Very well said, Adam. Now, kind of switching gears a little bit, you talk to a lot of law enforcement, a lot of security people. Let's talk about leadership for a minute. I mean, how important, we all know leadership is important, but what are the people, you talk to successful people everywhere. When we talk about the topic of leadership, what are they saying are some of the tenets, the pillars of good and effective leadership? We all know how important it is. But my personal opinion, and this is just my personal opinion, I think there's a lot of managers out there, but not a lot of leaders, meaning I think anybody can be a manager. Anybody can put together a schedule and tell people what shifts they're working and things like that. I don't think there's enough leaders out there. So what are the people that are truly leaders and inspirational and lead from the front? What are they saying is there are some good leadership traits to have? Because this applies to not only law enforcement, criminal justice, but whatever you're doing in your life.
That's a great question. I didn't prep for it. So this, you get the real stuff.
No, but I want the real stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, leadership is always one of those really interesting topics because everybody knows the buzzwords, right? Mm-hmm. Lead from the front, you know, lead by example. Mm-hmm. But there's no explanation to it. And in training, I always say, find the why we do something.
Love it. Yeah.
As a leader, I mean, you know, I had 6 years as an officer in the military, and leadership was something that we took training on it. And here's your courses, and this is what you do, and this is what leaders do. That was all fine and good, but everybody who's been in the military, everybody who's been in law enforcement, everybody who's a first responder, you know that there's those people that you work with or that you've been around that doesn't matter what rank they have or what level they've been to or all that kind of stuff. It's how they carry themselves. And you're like, that's the person that I'm going to follow and kind of mold myself after, because I can tell that they have the respect of everybody else. Mm-hmm. I think having a role model that can guide you into being a good leader is important. I think that having accountability for yourself is massive. And with that comes integrity. And by that, I mean, every decision that you make as a leader, it doesn't matter if you got insight or help from other people to come to your decision. At the end of the day, when you decide and you make a choice as a leader, it's now your choice, 110%, nobody else's. And if something happens and you shit the bed or something bad happens, you have to wear that and you have to own it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think enough people realize that even in failure, you can be a great leader. And people screw up, man. We're all human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, nobody listening to this will ever have to make one of those command decisions in a combat environment where it could lead to somebody losing their life or being seriously injured. But in a business side of things, man, we all make decisions that end up costing a contract or costing the company, you know, tens of thousands or millions of dollars. Guess what? It happens.
Yeah.
What the real test is how do you react to that failure? And what example are you setting for the people that see you when those bad situations occur? And if you can stay true to holding yourself accountable and owning it, it doesn't matter that you failed, man. All that matters is that you pick your ass back up, you get back on the horse, and that you show people that, yeah, guess what? We screwed up. Guess what? Next time we're going to do it better because this is what we learned. And you're constantly learning. You're constantly evolving.
Yeah.
If I were to summarize leadership, that's kind of how I would wrap it up in the short
See, and you did an amazing job. And that was such a that, and I agree with you, brother. I couldn't have said it better myself. That is excellent, and I agree with you. And the one thing that I agree 100% is that a lot of people, Adam, you know, whether you're a cop, whatever, a lot of people, once they fail, they don't get back on that horse or whatever analogy you want to use. They just kind of stay there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, the truly successful people out there, you, me, other people, they get back on that horse because you have to fail. You have to fail to grow. But a lot of people, they just stay in that rut. And which leads me to my next question to you, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How important do you think is surrounding yourself with the right people? Because I think so many people surround themselves with the wrong people, but I think people don't realize, a lot of people don't realize, by surrounding yourself with the right people, that's really going to determine your success or failure, right?
Man, I can't speak to that enough. Here's the perfect example for your listeners. When I decided to pick up and start this podcast, I reached out to some people that I felt could help me along the journey, and you were one of those people. And I reached out to you, and we talked about, and you, man, you're so gracious and so humble, and you picked up that phone, and we got on a call for like an hour, and you gave me the lay of the land. This is how this industry works. This is what you need to do and how to start. And it got the ball rolling, and building that network of people that you have relationships with is so, so important. It doesn't matter if you're in law enforcement, in the military, it doesn't matter if you're in business or anything. It is so important. I always tell my wife, you know, it's all about who you know. And, you know, there's that old saying from Jim Rohn, you're the average of the five people that we spend the most time with, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, there's also a great book out. I don't know if you've read it. It's called The Proximity Principle by Ken Coleman.
Writing that down right now.
Yeah. I'll shoot you the link after. And basically for me, I know, for my experience, my network has taken me to where I am today. Mm. And I started curating that network from the very beginning. And what I did was I made sure that I never, you know, we always talk about burning bridges and don't burn your bridges. Man, in business, I got to tell you that that is so true. If, you know, especially in the law enforcement military fields, right? I mean, we're... The law enforcement and military community is so much worse with rumors and stuff than high school girls. It's so unbelievable.
You're exactly right.
But it's, you know, you do one stupid thing or, you know, piss off the wrong person, and you can seriously affect your career to a massive detriment. And it's so important to nurture those relationships that you have. If you get to go to a course, so you get to speak with somebody who's, whether it's a commanding officer, somebody more senior to you, or somebody in another business, another, you know, one of your peers, or maybe a CEO or a CFO or a, you know, an operations person at another company, always leave that with a great impression. Always leave them thinking, hey, this guy's actually pretty good, or this girl's, you know, switched on. I'd like to work with them in the future. Cause you never know, 5-10 years from now, you may be looking at a career change. And, you know, speaking from the law enforcement military perspective, there's a lot of people that transition out and have no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's because they haven't accumulated that network of people outside of the little bubble, right? We like to stick in this little comfortable bubble, right? That, you know, whether you're in blue, you're in green or whatever, it's like, this is my bubble and I'm comfortable here and I'm safe here. And I can't talk to somebody who's not a cop. I can't talk to somebody who's not in the military because they have no idea what I'm going through, or they have no idea what I'm about. And it's just not the case. You know, you have to understand that there's so many more avenues for you to explore and to learn. And if you're constantly learning, and going back to that point of leadership, to be a good leader is to be a good learner. And if you've been involved with one thing of your whole life and you haven't looked outside your little bubble, man, you're going to be in a world for hurt when you try to step out of that bubble and you have no idea what's going on. It's like taking, somebody who fell into a coma in the 80s and woke up now and they're like, here's a cell phone. And they're like, what the hell is a cell phone? Right. I mean, that's, you have to step outside your comfortable zone and start learning new things.
Yeah. And I, well said. And I remember one of the biggest catalysts for me, Adam, it was, you know, years ago, I mean, I was a cop for many years and, you know, I was one of those guys that I wouldn't want to associate with anybody because that's how you're groomed, right? I mean, that's how you're kind of groomed. That's the culture is, well, if you're not a cop, I'm not going to talk to you. But I remember my wife wore me down a handful of years ago. Thank God she did. And she was like, and she has no affiliation with law enforcement, thank God. And she said, let's go out with some friends of mine. And I was like, I ain't going tonight. But then eventually I came around, went out with some of her friends, and they're great people. To your point, you got to cultivate those relationships outside of law enforcement. And that for me was really huge because I slowly started to realize, Adam, and you've heard this before too, probably, is not everybody out there is a criminal. As a matter of fact, most people are probably good people. It's just that we're only dealing in law enforcement with that certain percentage, right? And that kind of skews the rest of our world, at least it did for me. But that's really not a good mindset to have. You got to kind of break that mindset. And you got to have friends, and me, at least in my opinion, outside of the job, because it's going to keep you balanced. And it did for me, and it helped me out tremendously. So that's what I tell officers, you know, when I go talk to them. Again, not a dig, you know, but I think you got to have some friends outside of law enforcement, kind of keep balanced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You have officers that are more than comfortable trusting their gut on a call and saying, hey, this guy's good or this guy's bad. Why can't you take that and transition it to your, you know, the civilian side of life where it's, you know, you're going out for, somebody goes, hey man, can this guy join us for drinks? And you're like, I don't know who that guy is. I don't think so. Right. It's like, well, if you've cultivated your group of friends correctly and your friends understand your requirements for people that hang out with you, then that vetting process should be 95% of the way there. Right.
Yeah.
You show up, you sit down for drinks with the guy and then that's the last 5%. You trust your gut. Is this guy good or bad or whatever? And make your determination from there. But don't shut it down before it happens. Give yourself that chance to step outside that box and meet new people.
Yeah. Couldn't say it better myself. Now what's next for you, bud? You're just rolling, kicking ass with the podcast. What is next? Do you have time to sleep? I know you got the small little kids.
No. No, sir, I do not.
So what's next, man? You're just rocking it. And yeah. people like you, I know, Adam, but I don't know you, but I mean, you're always cooking with stuff. You know, you always got something in your head probably, right?
Probably 10 too many ideas at one time. Yeah.
Any sneak peeks of what is coming up in the future?
Sure. Yeah. Well, really exciting. Like I said, because of the exposure we've gotten and the caliber of people that we've had on the show, our friends at Caliber Press are going to be partnering up with us to put on these instructors roundtables. So if anybody in law enforcement, I mean, you know, Caliber Press, you know what they're synonymous for with law enforcement training and kind of being at the tip of the spear have for a long time. So really excited about that. And the next instructors roundtable, like I said, is going to be coming out on the 27th of February. And then, like I said, every last Thursday of the month after that, but the next one's on officer involved shooting. So that one's going to be really, really interesting.
That's an important one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We have, hopefully we haven't confirmed 100% everybody yet, but it looks like we're going to have, Lieutenant Jim Glennon on there. Chris Luzzo, who is a friend and former guest of the podcast. And then we're going to have an expert from the LAPD, and we're going to have an expert who's an attorney and specializes in defending officers who have been involved with these types of incidents. So it's going to be another super interesting one to roll out, and hopefully everybody can join us. And you can find that on our website at thebreakdown.ca/IRT or our YouTube or Facebook channels, whichever you prefer. And yeah, man, that's the next big thing coming out. So really excited for that.
Well, you're doing such an amazing job, Adam. And it's always a pleasure and honor talking to you, brother. And anything we can do, I mean, you just need to let me know. I mean, you're already kicking ass and taking names. You're already successful. But Love what you're doing, brother. Much success to you going forward in the future. Anything we could do, like I said, you just let me know. Any final words of wisdom for the listener out there from Adam?
Oh God, no, I would not say I'm a wise person at all. Here's what I will do.
Yes, you are. I disagree with you.
Thank you very much. I would like to just give something up to your listeners, you know, especially those in law enforcement, military, or the emergency response field. I was lucky enough that we have some amazing sponsors of the show. And what we've done is put together a giveaway that we're doing every single month. And it's completely free to enter. You have to be active duty or a veteran member of either the law enforcement, corrections, military, or emergency responder community. If you go to, again, thebreakdown.ca/contest, you can enter that for free. And every single month, we're going to be giving away over $400 worth of prizes, for our men and women in uniform. And that's just going to be rolling out consistently from now until forever, or until the sponsors pull out. Anybody in our field can enter that. And it's just a little way for us to give back to everybody. So,
well, Adam Kanakin, brother, an honor. Thank you for taking the time to come on the show. Adam, host of the Tactical Breakdown podcast. Folks, you got to check out this podcast. It's kick-ass. You're going to learn a lot. A lot of great takeaways. I listen to it all the time. Thank you so much, brother, for coming
on the
show.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Yes. Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.